The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Art Talk Golden Bay with Grant Knowles, where I talk to the artists about their art practice, what inspires them, their journey, and all their little secrets and passions. So come on a journey of discovery to find out firsthand the world of art, brought to you by the Art Vault Takaka. Good morning and welcome to Art Talk. Today on the show, I have Meredith Dobby. Good morning, Meredith, artist in Golden Bay. Thanks for coming in. Look, Meredith, you're a practicing artist. Are you practicing part-time or full-time?
At the moment, I'm part-time. I have a full-time job in Collingwood. So around those hours, I practice my own art, and it gives me a lot of joy. So it doesn't feel like work to me. It feels like time to relax, really.
Okay. Yep. You've been doing this for a long time, I believe.
Yeah, I studied fine arts when I left high school. Did various mediums. I did fashion, film, and fine art. But I've gone full circle, but I find myself back at fine art and drawing, and I think that's where my first love was, and very happy to be doing that again.
Yeah, yeah, no, drawing, and what's the medium with drawing? You use graphite or ink? Or?
I use a variety. I would say mainly at the moment I'm using just a black ink pen. Mm. Often I'll just go straight into a piece, which can be a bit daunting. You can't erase that, but I'll just go straight in. Recently I've also incorporated coloured pencil. I feel like I can get a lot of depth to a piece with that, but no, I do also work with graphite. I'm sort of going back to that. When I did life drawing, that was sort of the medium I would use, and again, I've come back to that and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Yep, okay. So what's your inspiration?
My inspiration, I love where we live. I love Golden Bay. I love the bird life. I think we're privileged to be here. And when I came back to New Zealand from overseas after the pandemic, I felt like the birds gave me a real sense of joy. So I just started drawing those characters, you know, that you see around, especially the fantails and lovely birds like that. But it sort of developed into more. It's the fragility and the conservation piece around birds, and that really is what I strive to represent through my work.
So you live out in Collingwood Way, and there's obviously a lot of birds that roost around the estuary and around there. Do you just go out with your pen and paper, or do you take photographs, or I want to draw a blah 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 bird. How does that come about?
I spend a lot of time at the beach. Generally, I just sit and observe. Especially if it's something like an oyster catcher or something like that. But I do try to take my own photos. So with tuis and kereru, it's a lot easier. They hang around my house a lot. So I generally try to get as many different angles as possible, and then I take those back and work on them. I don't tend to do too much drawing just there in the moment. But the photography and even just observing them is really helpful.
So do you find a good camera or your phone's enough?
At this stage, it's just my phone. Mm. I do sort of make notes. So if I take a photo of a tui, but say it's not such a good image, or it's a bit fuzzy, I will also just take a few notes, and just what I observe from my eye, I will note down as well.
Yep, okay. Yeah, I find it, the whole process, I always find it really fascinating where people are coming from with their process when it comes to creating art, and where the inspiration comes from, because obviously natural. What do you see as the most, you know, with doing birds and conservation work, you know, that sort of flora, fauna stuff, is that something that you obviously have some little bit of a body of work now. Where is that going to go, do you think? Have you got some direction with that?
I feel like it's sort of a starting platform. I know in my recent exhibition with Jess Mulatta, we explored themes that are really, really important to us. I really think birds and conservation, and especially where we are now in the world and politically, I feel like they almost represent a fragility to other areas of life, and it's those themes I'm really taking to the next stage, and that's where I'm up to now. Mm-hmm. I feel very deeply about, you know, global issues, and if I can represent it through a medium or through a way that I'm comfortable with, that brings me a lot of pride. And there are so many ways you can discuss issues, and they may look on the surface as one thing but be something else, if that sort of makes sense.
So yeah, of course, we see what we see, but what's going on underneath it all.
Yeah.
and conservation is all about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, do you expand on that with flora as well as fauna, you know, like the plant and the world of that?
Yeah, I think the correlation between birds and the environment is almost one and the same. Mm. I feel very privileged to live somewhere like Golden Bay, and you can see that with, say, regeneration of natives and in terms of native trees and plants, the birds just become a part of that. And I think it also speaks to the fact that we need to preserve our environment. Just the other night on the news, you know, the alarming number of endangered species globally are due to their environments being lost. I would love to move into a space with my art that explores that further, not just the individual birds or animals, but where they live.
And that's the beauty of being an artist. You can take some concepts and throw them around and do it. Do you ever get an opportunity to do that sort of thing?
I do, yeah. I think my inspiration for art generally comes from conversations and they, you know, places I've been or things I've seen. Also just spending time in nature. Often I might be on a hike and I just, an image that I see in front of me also sort of jumps out in my head as well, and maybe something just sort of clicks like that. The exciting thing about an artist is, you know, you're free to move into those areas. You're free to explore them without feeling, you know, any sort of requirement to stay in the medium you've already used. I would love to start exploring the use of inks and natural dyes, and it's you see, my brain is holding a lot of ideas. And
yeah, of course, and that's the creative spirit, yeah, isn't it? And you're probably getting more each time you get inspired, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So going back to art school, you went to, which one did you?
I went to the Learning Connection.
Ah, right, perfect. No, I've had a lot of people, talked to a lot of people who've been to the Learning Connection, including me. And they really give you a kind of a broad spectrum of actually doing it rather than sort of intellectualizing it. How did you find that part of it? You know, because you don't intellectualize it so much there. Whereas a lot of people find they need to kind of, you know, do that exploration and exploring of intellectual stuff. And, you know, how did that process work for you, that creative process that they bring in?
The Learning Connection allowed me freedom. I think it broke down barriers in what I could and couldn't do. I really learned that it's limitless. And just doing the process of making art, and I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so that was very helpful, you know, to just sort of try new things. And it's okay to just spend time creating something that may not be part of a collection. It's just a process, and it definitely got my brain sort of working in a different way. So the freedom of the learning connection was fantastic. The tutors there, they were so varied, and they had many different sort of approaches, and that was very helpful as well. I could try different things.
So writing things up and intellectualizing them, that wasn't really so much a part of it, right?
No, it wasn't. I mean, many of the students there are very deep thinkers, and we'd have sort of, you know, wonderful debates at lunchtime, you know, but it wasn't sort of an academic version. But I do think it sort of did start students on a sort of discourse around different sort of themes, and I found it really freeing. I feel like, though it didn't have that academic side, I felt like it really did still push my brain into thinking deeper, and you know, why we do things and what does this represent.
It's a very far, what you're doing now is very far removed from fashion. I mean, it was fashionable 100 and something years ago to use huia feathers in your clothing, and that we obviously know is totally wrong now. But this the whole fashion thing, does that still come up in your work when you're working with with what you do?
Yeah, that's a good point. It does feel very removed. When I'm sketching, I feel like that is probably the closest I am to fashion and fashion design. It's sort of, you know, you sketch up your ideas, and it's a free process. It's something that I would like to incorporate more, whether that's directly working onto cloth or I love linen. I think linen is a beautiful fabric, and I would love to explore the idea of translating my works directly onto linen and where that could take me. So maybe in the future there'll be sort of a real crossover in those mediums. I mean, fashion was such a huge part of my life. When I was in London, I worked in tailoring, and it's still a part of me, and I'd love to bring that back into my work.
However, living in Golden Bay, working in a full-time job, where do you find the time? How do you incorporate that? Because a lot of artists are in that position, and you know, what's your secret to getting some artwork done?
It is tricky. Generally, the weekends is when I'm doing pieces of work. There are parts of my sort of art business that I can do sort of in the evening when I'm tired, whether that's, you know, putting greeting cards together into packs or sending out orders. But the weekend is my time, and I can't draw or work when I'm tired. It never really turns out, you know, to be a good idea. But you know, when I'm at home in the weekend, the beach is right there. I'm lucky enough to live near the beach, and I can hear the birds, see the birds, and that is my time, and that is precious to me. I will block off that time just to draw or to work on pieces that might take more than one session. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that little bit actually about how long does a picture of the bird take? Is it you know, how many hours would you put into one drawing?
I'd say just the black ink drawings. I can actually complete one in about an hour. But if I feel like I'm not capturing it quite how I want, I will stop and I will leave it to another weekend. Sometimes taking your eye away and bringing it back, it's amazing. Suddenly you see things that you didn't see before. But the coloured pencil ones, they take a bit longer. I would say if you add up all the hours, it would be about 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. I build up the colour very slowly.
Yep.
And I think that the slow build-up of colour also gives it that depth, and that's what I want to capture, you know. Especially if, you know, the sun is shining on the feather and you can see another colour come through. I think it's just beautiful.
I mean, let's face it, there's a real power in the black and white and the ink and pen. It's just a medium that is tried and true forever, and, you know, illustrations for books, etc., blah, 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 blah. However, bringing in colour just changes the whole dynamics of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's your favourite?
Oh, it's a tricky one.
Or is that kind of, because they both have their own thing, haven't they?
Yeah. I actually think it depends on the character of the bird.
Mm-hmm.
Some birds you capture in black and white and that's all you need. The kereru, I think the coloured version just really stands out to me. I love that the multi colours, where you've even got colours like green and reds overlapping, and it's just, I just think it's truly beautiful what these birds and, you know, what you see in nature. And if I can capture that, even just, you know, a bit of that, I'm very happy.
So. Those sort of iridescent-y sort of colours where they just fade into one. That must be, I don't even know how you begin to capture that.
Yeah, it's for me, the only way I know how is the slow build-up of colour. It's amazing how pigment can sort of jump out, even if it's sitting underneath another one. It's quite fascinating. And that's why I love coloured pencil. The pigments, they can overlap each other, but they very much stay as one. There's no sort of mixing together. And I love the fact that you can sort of capture an iridescent feather like that.
So where can we see your work? Where can listeners view your work?
My work is predominantly in the Art Vault. As you know well, it's a great space to showcase work, especially amongst other interesting mediums and artists in the Bay. I have a few works in Collingwood at the Courthouse Cafe, and my greeting cards, I have those in various places. Yeah, the Art Vault is where the work.
Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
I do, yep. My website is merith.com. I have an unusual name, so the domain was not taken, so it was easy to get. So, yeah.
How do you spell that then, if it's unusual?
M-E-R-Y-T-H.
M-E-R-Y-T-H.
Yeah.
Why the TH? No, no. Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of people ask me, is it Welsh because of the Y? But it actually comes from my mother's name, Mary. So they just did a variation on that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool. And so merith.com.
Yep.
And that's a website. Yes. Do you work quite small? You work in sort of A5-ish, is it? A4 and then cut it down, something like that. And, you know, obviously expensive paper and expensive ink and all that sort of stuff. But do you consider that big enough, or are you looking at doing bigger stuff eventually?
I am looking at bigger works. Mm. In the latest exhibition, Feathered Foliage, I did a big piece with Korean calligraphy paper. And I see myself going that way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, paper is so expensive. Good paper is so expensive. So you have to practice a lot. And so I guess A5 is a good idea.
Yeah, if it all goes wrong on A5, it's much easier to then grab another piece. But yeah, I'd love to go much bigger. I recently explored, you know, big long sheets of calligraphy paper, and that was sort of a bit damaged. You know, the sides I sort of burnt off, and it was definitely more sort of rugged. But the feedback I got from that was actually very positive, and I enjoyed it. I brought in ink, which is not a medium I use often, and I can really see myself going further with that. So it's amazing where you can go.
I think the hardest thing with something like that, though, you know, you want to bring those edges and you can't frame it. You've got to leave it raw. You've got to find a way of mounting it or hanging it. So that's always the challenge, because it's not just about the drawing. It's the other stuff that goes with it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's that practical thing of, you know, often, you know, those pieces of paper, as they hang, they also get caught by the breeze. And, you know, there's quite often a breeze, you know, around, you know, New Zealand.
Stopping them curling too.
Yeah. So it's something that, I'm sort of thinking of ideas for that. But it's exciting that in Golden Bay, I feel like, you can do anything and you can explore those things, but there is the business side, there is the practicalities, you know.
How much did the Learning Connection help with the business side, or is that something you've got to kind of develop yourself?
I had a few tutors that really gave great advice of when they were working in the industry. It wasn't so applicable to sort of where we are now. You know, I had a great tutor, Ian. He worked as a cartoonist for publications. But, of course, that's changed. It's changed a lot. Mm. And so it's really looking at how to do business in the modern world. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm an aficionado at Instagram or Facebook, but I try. And I do listen to other podcasts of artists who have had to go down that road, because you do. It is a part of it, and I've learned so much along the way. But
sure, no, it's a bit of a challenge, you know. There's always pros and cons to every job we do and every passion we have. And look, thank you. I think this is brilliant, and I love talking to artists who would you consider yourself an emerging artist at this point, or are you kind of feel a little bit more? I mean, you're not well known yet.
I feel like I am emerging. I feel like I left sort of the drawing aspect for so long, and now that I've come back to it, I do feel like it's almost a new part of me, and I feel like the ideas can go further. So I would say, I'm emerging, and it's exciting. You know, you think where you could go, what you could do, and I'm really looking forward to the journey ahead.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to, I know our listeners here will be looking forward to catching some of your work either at the Art Vault or on your website, Merith.com. And was it .co.nz? Is it Merith?
.com.
You're a .com girl. Cool. And I think as time goes on, we'll see more of you. I hope we'll see more of you. Yeah. And looking forward to it. So thank you very much for your time today. Do appreciate you coming in and having a chat to me about your journey, because everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
And I like to you know, share that. I like it. So other people, especially artists, know where, but they might be on the right track.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been lovely chatting about the journey.
Yeah, well, Meredith Dobby, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your company today. You've been listening to Art Talk Tākika with me, Grant Knowles. We've been talking to artists about their inspirations, passions and journeys. Art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Brought to you by Art Vault Tākika.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.